Derek, it's all yours.
Thanks. Your lead pastor needs to leave quickly. They're waiting on him in the other service to give a sermon, and my assumption is they're all looking at each other like this, trying to figure out why there's a bunch of silence. It's because your lead pastor is not in the room yet. But because of that, you have the misfortune of hearing a sermon from me this morning. To prepare our hearts for that time, I'd ask you to pray with me. God, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit into this place in these exact moments. That as your scripture is read and an attempt at a word proclaimed, we might hear what you have to say to us this morning. Amen. We've got a scripture lesson to get to, but before we do, I want to share with you a starting place for... I should back up. The gospel writer John, Susan Felley, wrote this particular scripture that we're going to read together. And John had this way of saying things that don't make any sense to me, right? For example, the very first chapter of John starts out with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then it starts talking about light. Light came into the world to overcome the darkness, and there was light, and then we were light. And then it says the word light like 63 times in about 4 verses. And none of it makes any sense to me, and so I have to really, really slow down when I get to the Gospel of John and really pull it apart piece by piece and say, what in the world is happening? And here's what I've discovered. I am really bad at knowing what I mean when I try to say what I think I mean. That was an example. I'm sorry. But I'll give you an example of what that means. You ever hear when you say a prayer and somebody says, well, we'll pray for traveling mercies. Have you ever heard that? That's like a favorite of pastors, to pray somebody onto a trip with traveling mercies. Well, the word mercy to me is like a weird word to stick there, because isn't mercy for like if you've done something wrong and you deserve a punishment, but somebody gives you mercy? Like, why would you send somebody with traveling mercies? And my wife said, I think it's because traveling is really painful. And I wonder to myself, isn't there a better word than mercy? Like grace? What if we send people with traveling grace? You see what I mean? I think on a regular basis, Christians like to say things that don't actually mean what they think they mean. I think there's a danger in reading really wordy gospels like John's gospel and missing some of the nuance because we don't take time to pay attention to the words. And I will go a step farther and say that the story is really about a conversation between Jesus and a man named Philip, where Philip is not paying attention to Jesus' words. So let's read the scripture together. If you have a Bible with you, you can open it up and read it. And then everybody in your row that doesn't will be like, wow, look how holy they are. They brought a Bible. Confirmands, you have Bibles. Hey, open them up to John. John's the fourth gospel. That means it's pretty close to the back of the book. It's after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and before Acts. Okay, while you're flipping there. John 14, 1 to 14. Says, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places or lots of rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you there myself, so that where I am, you'll be there too. And you know the way to the place I'm going. Okay, so Thomas this time, Philip comes in a minute. Thomas says, yeah, but Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, well, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you knew me, then you would know my Father also. From now on, you do know him because you see me. So then this is Philip. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I not been with you all this time, Philip? You punk. You still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How could you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Do you see what I mean with John and his words? The words that I say... The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of all the awesome miracles and stuff we've been doing. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. All right, now again, I tend to read John and get a little baffled by what he's trying to say. And so I had to start really slowly and break this down. And I came up with three questions that I think John's talking about. If you have a bulletin thing on the back of it, there's some spots for notes and whatnot. Do you see the blank lines underneath? That's for the times that you space out so that you can like write things to yourself. Or if you really disagree with me, you can write it down so you remember to complain to me. Or if, God forbid, something is ever said during a sermon that really goes like, wow, that makes sense, I get it, you can write that down too so you can remember it. But let's start with those blanks. I'm going to give those of you with a pen a second here. If you don't have a pen, you could just do it and do this activity in your head. Look at the three questions there with the blanks at the end and see if you can fill in the blanks. You guys don't have bulletins. Are we about ready? Everybody's good? So let's start with the first question. Can I get that first question up there? That's what it looks like, confirmands that don't have bulletins. If you're homeless, find a Jesus. No, not home. When I was in undergraduate, I did some like seminary kind of classes where we talked about God and the Bible and stuff. And we decided that if you never know the answer, the right answer in those classes is always Jesus or God, right?
You could say that too.
Good. It is. So if you're homeless, find a Jesus. Yes, that's exactly right. Why? Because right here in the scripture, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father, this is an important part. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places or many rooms. So I'm going to go and prepare a room for you. In other words, if there's a place that you find yourself not belonging, there is room for you somehow with Jesus. Now, that sounds really cliche. At least it should. It is kind of cliche. But I take heart in knowing that as messed up as I am, all of the weird, murky stuff that rattles around in the bottom of my heart that I really desperately don't want anybody else to see, even that, there's room for me. And so I would contend that if you are here today in this room and you got ears and you're hearing me now, there's room for you too. And confirmands, hi. Did you know you're called a confirmand? That's a good name. Actually, now you're not confirmands anymore. You're what? Members. That's right. You are full members of the church. So talk to Scott afterwards and see if you can become a member of the finance team, because you're now full members of Faith Community United Methodist Church. Why would you join as members? Why would they join as members? Why would you consider joining as a member? Well, partly at Faith Community, we're trying to be the body of Christ. That's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. And I hear Jesus saying right here that in that body of Christ, there is room. There is a place for you. When you join the church, you declare out loud to everybody when you answer to those questions, you believe that there is room, yes, even for you. It's a place of belonging. And I will contend that in this world, there are a lot of places where not everybody does belong. All right, the second question on there. What's the second question? If you're lost, get a Jesus. Yeah, hooray. Who put maps? Yeah, you were wrong. Who put GPS? You were wrong. Yes, if you're lost, find a Jesus. Another part in here says, I will come again and I will take you myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place that I'm going. But then Thomas said, Lord, how do we know where you, we don't know where you're going. How could we know the way? And Jesus said to him, well, I am the way. So again, if you're lost, get at Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the way. Now, what does that mean? Because that's also cliche. I did a little bit of digging because, again, I was trying to figure out what all the words meant. And I figured out the confusion that he has with Jesus, why the disciples frustrated with Jesus. The Greek word for the way looks like this. Show me the Greek word for the way. Anybody read Greek? I'm trying to learn. That might be pronounced hadas, right? In ancient Greek, we don't actually know the pronunciation. It's not like modern Greek, and so we don't know how they would have said it, but we would say it hadas, right? Now, that means the way, but it also means like directions. Like if you were to write down directions for something, that would be what you were doing, is getting hadas. It also means, though, like a path for life, like a philosophy, a way of existing is also hadas, right? So that was the word confusion going on. Jesus is saying, you know the philosophy of life to get where you're trying to go, Susan. But then you, like Thomas, might say back, I don't have directions to any house. What house are you talking about? The word confusion, right? Just directions or an entire way of living. That's why I say, if you're feeling lost, maybe you find a Jesus. Because it's not just about a certain set of you must do this and then you must do this and then, oh, make a right turn there. You go to high school, then you're going to graduate and then you're supposed to go to college, I think. Or if you don't, you're supposed to find a job. You got to get an apartment sometime and a car, blah, 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 blah. Those are directions. That's different than the hadash Jesus was talking about. A way, a path, an opportunity. Do you feel me on the difference there? It's not about which turn you make and when you make it or what time is the right time to make that turn, though I hope you make the right ones as often as you can. Listen to your parents, they're smart. I think it's more about direction in terms of life. Who is going to be guiding you? This person of Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes was a rebel rouser, sometimes made people really angry. In fact, that's what happened with the cross. They got so fed up with him, that's where he went. But he had a way of taking the whole system and turning it upside down. The people that are hurting the most are the people we need to be investing in the most. And the people that have the most are the people that need to be taken down a peg or two sometimes. Jesus had this way of taking the whole system, the whole way we understand the world, and flip-flopping the thing. An entire way of life. Look at the world differently. With some kind of compassion and hope. You know, it's real easy to look at this world with a lot of, I don't know where we're going now. We're all in real trouble. But what if Jesus was the roadmap, was the direction, was the philosophy that we bought into? That instead of looking at the world with hopelessness, we look at the world with compassion, with a hope for what it could be. Jesus looked at a temple once. The scripture says he looked at the temple, the very center of Jewish faith, with all the Jewish leaders he was already making mad. And he said, I'm going to tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up again. Now that for sure got him in trouble. But what did he mean? He meant there's a new way to worship. There's a new way to think about how we're doing this faith thing. What does Jesus say about the way? Jesus says, I am the way. You want a roadmap. You want a place to go. Maybe it's bigger than just the right directions, the right time to do the right thing. Maybe it's about a philosophy of living. Because then if you make the wrong directions, it's okay. Because you're living inside a larger existence. One of peace, of hope, of justice, of love, compassion. Deep understanding of yourself and the people you're around. Such a better way of existing. All right, the last blank. Yep. If you want to get all buff and everything, if you want to be all Pastor Brad and like, right? Join a Jesus, yes. You guys are so smart. No wonder you're at confirmation. Join a Jesus. Here's why I say that. At the end of this, Jesus says, the one who believes in me will also, in other words, the one who's using me as the roadmap, who's using me as the philosophy, the way to exist. He says, that person will also do the works that I do. Remember, he's just been doing miracles. He's just been surprising everybody with miracles. You can do that same stuff. In fact, he says, you will do these works greater than me because you're doing it to glorify God. In other words, if you want power in your step, you want it to mean something that Jesus is the way that you're choosing to exist. Power, buffness, however you want to say it. Maybe there's a Jesus for that too. Jesus says, this is my paraphrase here, but in that passage, Jesus says, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to hang out there with God. We're going to rap, whatever, you know. And if you ask stuff of me, you can do powerful stuff too. This was just the Jesus that healed blind people so they could see, told people that couldn't use their legs to stand up and walk away. The same Jesus that told people, that this whole life system ought to be turned upside down. You could have that same authority, that same power, if you ask for it, through Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, we have some Pentecostal brothers and sisters who believe that means that when you worship, you can speak in tongues. Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together after Jesus died, the Holy Spirit came and they all started speaking in tongues. Right? Do we speak in tongues in our church usually? No. Jesus found a person whose legs didn't work and said, pick up your mat. And he stood straight up and started walking around. I've seen people, especially on TV, do physical healing. Somebody kicks off their crutches and starts dancing around. Do we do that in our church? I don't know necessarily that people have kicked off their crutches and danced around. Maybe. Maybe people have spoken in tongues. So what does Jesus mean when he says, well, you can do the same stuff I've done, even bigger stuff? Well, I've been in situations where I've seen somebody prayed for and I've seen healing happen. I've been in situations where somebody prayed for the right words that they didn't have, and all of a sudden their mouth was filled with the right powerful things to say. I would contend speaking in tongues. I've even been in a worship service where I saw somebody just straight up and all kinds of stuff. But it wasn't cheesy. It was like one of the neater things I've seen in worship, right? And so I believe those things happen. But what if all of us had the power to do them all the time? That's what Jesus seems to think. What if you know somebody that is horribly broken? Their legs not working would be the best thing about their life. That broken. And you believed in the power of a faith that could heal it. Do you see what I mean? Jesus healed broken legs. What if we were healing entire broken lives? Jesus says, and I promise this isn't heretical, it's in the scripture, you can do it even greater than what I did. What does that mean? I think all measures of brokenness can be healed. The blind to see. I know some people that are really, 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 really blind. Some people that cannot see what's going on right in front of their face. What if they were capable of seeing? I believe somebody could be healed and their blindness, physical blindness, could go away. But you could do greater things than even these, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? What if the greater thing was saying the things that you can't see, the things that make no sense to you, or somebody that you love, they just can't see it. What if you believed their eyes could be opened? What about death and resurrection? That was something Jesus did. Could we do that, but in Jesus' name, for the glory of God, even greater than these things? There was a time 2,000 years ago when Jesus was served a capital punishment and then stuck in a tomb, and then he came out of the tomb walking. How does that notch one up? What if in all of the dead and broken and hurting and fissured and screwed up things in this world, new life was standing up and walking out of it? Why? Because Jesus is a place where everybody belongs. Why? Because Jesus is a way to get where we're going. And why would we go there in the first place? Because we can see greater things than even these. Confirmants, are you still with me? Come back to me for just a second. Because I trail off too, even when I'm speaking. Don't worry about it. You guys just joined this church as members. You guys are full members of the church, the same way everybody else in the room is members of the church. Very cool day, I would contend. Why would you do that? Because you believe that greater things than even this can happen. If you have a faith that says great things can happen and will happen because I believe, then you belong members not only of this church, but of every church everywhere and in every time. And I believe young people such as yourself could do greater things than any of us in this room have dreamed up yet. I think you can, and I think you should. Let's pray. God, for this morning, I give you thanks. For the opportunity to be together as your church, I give you thanks. Above everything else, I pray that you would take our faith to a place where we believe greater things can happen than even these. Help us to know and believe in our heart that we have a place in you. We have a direction in you. And we have the power and the authority to do all of the things that you're calling us to do. Amen. We have an offering time to do. Now, when we do offering in most every church, that means, what does that mean, Susan? We want your money. Give us money. Why? Because if you give us money, then we can do powerful things. Ha ha! Except Jesus didn't say that, did he? Right? I'll bet buying in to the notion that your faith can do powerful things is the offering that Jesus really wants you to make. Now, some of you know that the church is a vehicle to get that done. And if you are a regular attender here, there's a spot right here that's shaped like a church, has a little hole on the top of it, and you can put a monetary offering there. Mostly because you know that all of the things that you have, including your pocketbook, belong to God already, and you're just giving back to God what is God's because you believe great things can happen. However, if you're a visitor here, this isn't for you. If you haven't been here in a long time, this isn't for you. Why? Because this service is our gift to you. That monetary thing is for our members. It's for our members or our regular attenders who are part ongoingly of the ministry we're doing because you know the fruit coming out of it. All of us, though, have something on a heart level that we offer to God. All of us do. I believe that to be true. And I will contend this morning that if you're having trouble believing that there is room for you in God, that be what you offer, believing that you are already worthy. If you're having trouble deciding that you want your faith to lead out your life, maybe that could be your offering, that you're going to do your best at least this week to let your faith be the guide, be the direction, be the place you're going. And last, I would say, maybe you have trouble believing that you are powerful enough to do great things. Maybe your offering is believing a little more today or this week that you can do great things. Whatever you do, I would encourage you to use this time to reflect on what you can offer to God.